Ready?
We are recording. Go for it.
Hi, thank you, Jeremy, for welcoming us and inviting me to be a guest host with a specific aim of hearing women share their stories of high strangeness. It could be interdimensional visitors to ghosts to out-of-body or aliens. We are all exploring this together. And in a time when women's rights and voices are challenged and heard less frequently, I am drawn to women's groups and sources and stories. My name is Crystal, and you may remember me from a few podcasts past where I told my story of the unicorn in my living room, my out-of-body experience, and the interdimensional visitors known as Pinky and Godly. I'm happy to bring you all today the experiences of our three guests as they share out. Please introduce yourselves, and we have an order in which people will share their stories.
Hi, my name's Allie, and I'm going to share my stories.
Hi, I'm Nat. I am a teacher, a mother of a three-year-old and a one-year-old, and I live in Northern California.
Hi, I'm Marie, and I'm looking forward to the conversation tonight.
Great, thank you. So we're going to go ahead. It'll be Allie, and then Natalie, and then Marie, and each share their story, what they have experienced, and then we'll each take some turns if there's something, questions or comments that we might have about the story or the experiences, and then we'll listen and move on each like that. And then in the end, we may have new concepts or inspirations that have come after we've heard all three stories.
We'll be back after this. Aloha, Jeremy Vaney here, and I want to tell you about my latest undertaking, OurUndoing.com. OurUndoing.com is a multimedia website where if you watch, if you read, if you listen, without trying to absorb knowledge like we do with normal learning, and without the normal judgmental filters that we use to compare and contrast so-called spiritual knowledge, if we watch, if we read, if we listen, without all of that, we may just wake up to our full human nature. That is what this website is for. It's not about what we're doing, it's about who we are, truly are, when we're off the pendulum of duality. If your life is about seeking truth above all else, look no further. Join me at OurUndoing.com.
Whitley Strieber has published an incredible 2-volume historical novel called In Hitler's House under his open pseudonym Jonathan Lane. This amazing story follows the life of William Weber, who meets Hitler while touring Germany in 1931 and becomes his friend and confidant. But then, when he realizes the truth, becomes a spy in Hitler's house for the Allies. Living a life of terrible danger, he falls in love with another of Hitler's secret friends, also a spy in his house. This is a story of espionage and desperate love, and the deepest portrait of Adolf Hitler ever created. Don't miss In Hitler's House, available in paperback and as an ebook on Amazon.
Welcome back.
Allie, would you mind go ahead and tell us your story?
I'll try. I don't have any one amazing story, which is sad. I would like to have one amazing story. I just have a lot of little things that have happened throughout my life. Young child, I saw a little black man. They would run around my house. Nobody else seemed to see them. And I lived in a house in the 80s. They had a lot of poltergeist activity. And saw some full body apparitions, white misty shapes. And basically, I just want to know what these things are. I've started listening to podcasts to try to see if anybody else has similar experiences. But the first thing, about 10 years ago, I was laid up at the surgery and I had nothing else to do. So I started listening to podcasts and I was thinking about the little black men, and I heard people talking about shadow people, and I thought, shadow people, maybe that's what I was seeing. So I Googled shadow people, and it took me to, he was on a show called Paratopia, Jason Offit. And that introduced me to Paratopia, and I was hooked. I mean, I must have listened to everything Jeremy and Jeff Richman has done, and the shows have just been fantastic. And I've, and like we've said in the past, I haven't found any answers, only more questions. So does anybody not want to know more about maybe the little black men I would see running around the house or maybe the poltergeist activity?
I think what I read that you wrote, I think if you just shared that little bit about each of those, I think we have the time for that, and it'll be interesting. And I think there is some overlap with the other two guests as well.
All right. What I was, I slept in a crib till I was five because we had a lot of kids in a small house, and there weren't enough beds. And they would come look at me through the bars of the crib, and they would walk around the house, and I would see them, and they were like three-dimensional, completely black, about 4.5-5 feet tall, but they weren't proportioned like children. They were proportioned like adults. You know, children have large heads, and you know. And
yeah.
I just thought it was normal, and everybody saw them, but nobody else did, apparently. And I didn't.
And you wondered.
I don't know. And then years later, I was carpooling with a guy to work, and he said he used to see them in the house he grew up in. He slept in the basement, and he said at night they would come up and run up and down the stairs like they were playing. And it scared him. Mine didn't scare me at all. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know what that was. And then in the 80s, I moved into a house with my brother, and all of a sudden, the craziest things just started happening. Things would move. The first thing that happened was two sofas were across the room and upside down on the other side of the living room when I came home from work. And I thought, oh, somebody's playing a trick on me. You know, who was in here? It's like, no, nobody was there. Yeah. And right after that, many things would happen. Heavy bookends would fly off shelves. The TV would turn off and on at strange times. Things would fall over. The telephone, I'd be on the phone and it would disconnect. And this was back in the day of hard landlines. I mean, we didn't have cell phones back then. Mm-hmm. And my brother noticed a few things as well. But after about 4 or 5 months of these things, and we would joke about it. We'd go, oh, don't let the ghost get you. And then the phone would hang up on us, you know. And
right, right.
I had a really bad cold and I took a bunch of, I was chugging cough syrup, and I took contact cold medicine, and I went to lie down to go to sleep. And I had a dog. I had a Doberman that would sleep on my bed with me. And I was lying there just kind of in a fog, you know, from all the cold medicine and the cough syrup, which has a lot of alcohol in it. And I was staring upward, and I was looking at a canopy over my bed. And I realized I don't have a canopy. And I noticed there was a knife stuck in it. And I thought, this is really strange. And then the canopy just vanished, like, into the wall. And then I looked down toward my walk-in closet, and this full-body, white, adult-shaped apparition just came walking out of the closet and stood there. And I still wasn't scared. I've never really been frightened by these things, which is odd. You would think you would be, but I wasn't. And I was just looking at it, thinking, that's the strangest thing I've ever seen. But my dog was just really freaked out. She was also looking in that direction, and she was growling, and every hair on her body was standing up. So whatever it was, my dog saw it as well. And we just looked at it for a few minutes, and then it just vanished. It just faded away, and I went to sleep. And then the next morning, my brother, who slept in the room next to me, came out, and he said, who was in your room last night? I'm like, there was nobody in my room last night. I was really sick. I mean, I did not have any visitors over last night. He said, I know you did. And I said, no, I didn't. He said, you had a loud, yelling conversation with a man about 3 a.m. I'm like, nope. I was completely asleep at 3 a.m. and there was nobody in there. And then just coincidentally, I picked up the newspaper. I used to read the paper every morning. And there was an article that said, man takes axe to his friends at campsite. And I'm like, what's this? He had gone camping with his friends. He had a cold, and they'd been drinking beer, and he took contact cold medicine. And apparently there's a substance in contact cold medicine that can make some people hallucinate. Huh. And he suddenly jumped up and said he saw demons everywhere, and he grabbed an axe and just started swinging.
Wow.
So I thought, okay, well, maybe that explains what I saw. Because I mixed, you know. But why did my dog see it? And why did my brother hear yelling?
Right, they weren't on contact cold medicine.
I guess not. No, of course not. But after that night, we lived in that house a good another 6 months, and nothing else ever happened after that night. Like, that just ended it. Okay, I'll let someone else go. I just have a...
Well, you also mentioned another one that I think, if you wouldn't mind telling us about, there was a human hand and a box.
Yeah, I woke up middle of the night, 3 a.m., opened my eyes, and I'm staring, I'm just looking, and there was a hand, a disembodied hand holding an orange box hovering over my husband who was sleeping. And it had buttons on it and like cords that like disappeared off it because it was just like you could just see part of it. And I stared at it for a good while. I mean, probably 20, 30 seconds, and it was still there. And then it just faded away. Like, what was that? It was like a hologram, or, you know, it was just like there. It was just as real looking. So I can't explain that one. But my husband's mother had recently passed away. And when I mentioned it to him the next morning, what I'd seen, he said that was, his mama was there last night, and he didn't want to talk about it.
So that he noticed his mother or felt that his mother had been there that night.
He didn't see anything. He did not wake up at all during this, what I saw, but this is what he told me the next morning.
Okay. So do you have any thoughts or questions or about that, Natalie, about what she shared?
Yeah, I was very interested about the little black people that you were talking about. I was wondering if they ever tried to, like, communicate with you, or did they do any like, weird things, or I don't know, what were they doing?
They would just look at me and show up and wander around the house and follow me around a little bit. I've never, with any of these things, had any kind of communication or thoughts ever. I've never heard anything. Yeah, I wish I did.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I have no idea. There was a time I woke up in the middle of the night, and there was a full body white apparition standing right next to my bed, and it was raising its arms up and down, up and down. And I thought, what? And I wore contacts then. I was asleep in them. I'm rubbing my eyes and rubbing my eyes, and it was still there, and it was still there. And I watched it for a long time, maybe a full minute. And finally, I reached over and turned on the light, and it was gone. And I turned off the light, and it was still gone. But then I've listened to tons and tons of podcasts to see if anybody else had something like that. And somebody did. I finally heard one where this girl had the exact same experience, except hers communicated to her mentally. And it told her, lie still, I'm healing you.
Oh.
Yeah. So I thought maybe that's what I had.
Maybe there was healing, but there wasn't the other communication going on.
Yeah, I didn't get the communication, but she did.
Mm-hmm.
So since it was so similar, all I could think of is perhaps it was some sort of healing, or I don't know.
Yeah. How about you, Marie? Do you have any questions or insights for Ellie?
Yeah, I have some questions. I mean, the upside down sofa, that's so dramatic. And, and you know, just the talking about things moving, I'm just wondering, did I understand correctly, you came home and found it that way? Did you ever actually see these items in motion?
Nobody was home all day. I came home and found the sofas. Other things that would fall or knock over sometimes happened when we weren't looking and sometimes when we were.
Wow. And then I also wondered, so your brother heard this yelling conversation, which you didn't recall, although you had this experience with this person in your or entity in your room. And could he understand anything that was being said? Did he?
I don't think so. When I saw the thing, it was like 11 p.m. and he said he heard the yelling at 3 a.m.
Uh-huh.
And it was a completely different time. And I don't recall him saying he could understand any words. Just the actual argument. Yeah.
And it's interesting that the all the activity stopped after that. Did you have any sense when you were having that encounter that you were, you know, asking it to stop or telling it to stop or having that intention at all?
No, not at all.
Huh.
And it wasn't frightening. I mean, I've seen scary movies. I don't even like to watch scary movies because it's horrible. I don't like that. And in real life, you would think it would be that scary, but it just has never been frightening to me. And it usually happens so unexpectedly. There's no build up or scary music in the background. You know, you don't know it's coming, and then it happens, and then it's done, and it's gone, and it's like, huh, that was strange.
Yeah, so I noticed you had a timeline of the different when these things happened, and oftentimes many years are passing between your experiences. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, do you start to have different thoughts, like do you crave or another experience? I wonder, when will the next one happen? Or is that it? Are there no more? Were those even real?
I do. In fact, a lot of people I know and family members have seen a lot of UFOs. Oh. And I go out like every night for years and I stare at the stars and the sky. And I think, why have I never seen anything? And I never have.
So, but you're like, I'm here.
Yeah, it's like you can never predict this stuff, ever.
Yeah. Yeah, and I understand that. I also have not felt that any fear in my actual experiences. Now, I have felt fear after I've listened to some other stories of some of the scary experiences people have had, and you know, but in my actual experiences myself, I haven't felt any fear. So it's kind of interesting there. I do relate to that. All right, so thank you, Allie. And Natalie, you ready?
I am. Okay, so to start off with, I kind of just wrote my story down, so I'm just going to read it. But to start off with, I don't have a lot of experience with the spiritual world, but growing up, I've always been really fascinated by the thought that there might be another life after the life that we live in now. I always loved watching the TV shows, especially on TLC, like Long Medium, the Long Island Medium, Mama Medium, or Hollywood Medium. The idea that someone could possibly communicate with spirits or the other side just amazed me. So my story starts about a year ago when my husband and I were looking for a new home. And at the time, we lived in a 3-bedroom home but felt a little cramped after our second daughter was born. My husband called me up right away when I was at work, and we scheduled a private tour to go look at the house right after. So when I got back in town, I picked up our girls from daycare and drove straight over there to the house. When I arrived to the house, I looked at it and I was like, oh my God, this house is amazing. And so I took the girls out of the car and went inside. The realtor and I and my husband and our family go walk through the house and took a tour. We saw the living room, dining room, kitchen. We saw the whole shebang. And the house just seemed perfect for us. And the girls really seemed to like it as well. So we were about to wrap up the tour and headed to go check out the garage, which was our last stop, when all of a sudden our 6-month-old at the time, she kind of just projectile vomited all over the floor. And now our 6-month-old was the type to never spit up as a baby or vomit at that area. So it was a very, really unusual for her. But she did this about 2 to 3 times. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, we got to go. I was like, this is too messy. Let's clean up the mess and just head out. And so we cleaned up our daughters and we put them to bed when we got home. When they were both in bed, my husband and I started talking about the house. And during our talk, I couldn't stop thinking about how our 6-month-old just vomited all over their floor. And I couldn't stop thinking about it and how it might just be a bad omen or sign. And I grew up playing softball and sports, and so I'm very superstitious. And if something goes wrong, it just doesn't sit well with me. And so my husband wanted to put an offer on the house right away, and I just couldn't pull the trigger. So my husband was talking to his family and my family, and they all thought I was crazy for not wanting to put an offer on the house just because our daughter threw up in it. But after all the convincing, I started to think also, okay, maybe I'm being a little ridiculous, a little crazy. So then my brother-in-law, he was the one that actually kind of convinced me. He said, don't think of it as a bad omen. Just think of it as she's claiming her territory, or she's christening it. So she wants this house and she's already claiming it. And I was like, all right, I guess I can look at it that way. So we put an offer down on the house and we got the house. And so a month later, we moved in, and it was also the same day they packed up my classroom for the summer. So I handed my keys to our principal and I went straight home to go help pack up and move. The moving process was very easy, smooth. We got everything in and out and everything back up in the garages. All the boxes in the garages to be packed up. So I remember, thank goodness the girls have daycare this whole summer so I can stay home and unpack. So I woke up the next morning, dropped the girls off at daycare, and went home to start unpacking. I started with one box and the next, and I felt like an unpacking machine because I was getting everything done so easily and so quickly, which was weird. I thought it would be way more stressful. I took out one of the boxes that was a miscellaneous box with lots of stuff in it. So I decided to go sit down in our living room floor, start pulling the stuff out. And that's when I looked down on my inner thigh, on my leg, and I noticed a pretty big red mark. And I looked at it closer, and I noticed that it wasn't an ordinary mark, a red mark. It was a red hand. It had 5 fingers and a big palm. And at first I thought, well, maybe it's just my hand. Maybe I accidentally slapped myself on the leg when I was putting the boxes away. But I tried putting my hand up against it, and it was just really weird. It was a very weird angle. I was like, there's no way I could have put my hand on that. And it was very red. It's almost like it just happened. And it really creeped me out. And it didn't hurt or anything, but it also wasn't going away. And I was just, you know, usually if I scratch myself a little bit, the redness starts to settle down. Well, this redness was not settling down. And I was like, so I took a picture of it, and I sent it to my sister. She was also a little creeped out about it, but, you know, I kept a close eye on it, just continued with what I was doing. And it took about 2 to 3 hours for the handprint to slowly start diminishing and then going away. So my husband, I told my husband about it. He thought it would be a good idea to sage the house, to try to clear any bad energy. And I was like, all right, sure, let's do that. And it made me feel a little bit better about the situation. So now jumping ahead about 3 to 4 months is where things starting to get a little more weird for me. During the night, I started waking up at 3 a.m. right on the dot. If you ever seen any horror movie, you know that 3 a.m. is considered the devil's hour, which is why I don't watch horror movies that much. But when I do, it's always those ones. I would wake up, look at my phone at 3 o'clock on the dot, and I start hearing all these noises from the house, the creaks and the cracks, and I just couldn't sleep. I would freak myself out and I would curl up in a ball, and basically I would move to the center of the bed and curl up on top of my husband. So I was basically sleeping on my husband. Sometimes I'd have to wake him up and go check to make sure that all the house doors are locked downstairs, because I was hearing it so much and so often all over the places. So then I also started having weird dreams, and one dream specifically, it wasn't really a dream, but more of a man's face yelling and screaming at me. This man just got right up in my face and he just started yelling. He said, "Watch out." And I woke up in a panic and I heard a huge bang in the room. It's like thump. And it turns out that my husband's cell phone had apparently fallen to the ground off of the dresser, which was very odd and strange. And so that was kind of like the last straw. I've been having several of these dreams where things have been falling off on the side of our walls every time I'd wake up in the morning, and I was just not having it. So my husband decided to call up his friend who is a psychic, and she said that she would love to come and read the energy of our house and get a better feel of what was going on. And before she came over, I didn't give her a big background of what was happening. I just mentioned that I was hearing weird noises and weird things around in the middle of the night, and I didn't really get into any specifics. So she came over, and I was a little nervous about the whole situation because I've never had any experiences with psychics. And so I didn't want her to give me bad news, like saying, "Oh my gosh, there's a horrible thing living in here. You guys should probably get out," or something like that. I was kind of afraid. But she came over, and right away she did tell us that there was a lot of energy coming from our house. And she reassured us right away that it was not bad energy. It was just very strong. And she told us that we had a lot of ancestors in front of our home protecting us and making sure that nothing bad would come in. So she told us this right away, which was very nice to hear and very reassuring. So then she told me that she's going to walk around. And so we went upstairs to my bedroom, and she's talking. And so she heard the noises from the ceiling. And I told her, yes, that's where the noises were coming from. She sees a man on our roof trying to fix a hole, she said, and she said he's up there hammering and hammering. And then she started to tell me that this man was coming in from my side of the family. And so she told me this, and the man was very tall. He was white, Caucasian. He was in his late 50s to 60s. She asked me if I could relate to who this man could be coming in from my side. And so everybody was still alive in my family. I had all my grandparents, my parents, aunts, uncles, cousins, everybody was still alive. So I couldn't really, communicate or just really connect with that. And so she went on to tell me that, this man keeps telling her that he's an uncle figure to me. And that, this man was also telling her that he is always with me and my family. He is always in our hearts, and that he is always there to protect us, which is very sweet and touching, but at the same time, I had no idea who he was. I was almost a little creeped out. I was like, well, who is this man that says that he's always with us? Not quite sure, but okay. I was like, that's kind of nice. So she eventually told this man that to try not to hammer in the middle of the night because it was disrupting my sleep, and he had nicely agreed and apologized. And after she completed like a little ritual and cleansing of our room, and then we parted our ways and said goodbye. So after she left, I felt much better about the fact that there wasn't anything bad in our house. We had ancestors who were protecting our house and leaving messages. Some of them were apparently leaving messages in my dreams, she said. But I was still confused about who this man could have been. Fast forward to the next day, I was back at work with my students, and I received a text message from my mother saying, "Please call me as soon as you can." So this text message is an emergency text, and I knew it was something bad. So I let my students go to recess, and right away I called my mom. My mom and dad were on the phone, and they gave me the sad news that my uncle had passed away that morning. I was in complete shock. It didn't really make any sense to me. My grandpa's been sick, so I thought maybe he would be the one that was going to pass away, but it was my uncle. And I also saw my uncle the day before at my grandparents' house, right before we met up with our psychic friend. But at that moment, when I was thinking about it, it all clicked. It made sense now. The man that our friend was talking about was my uncle the whole time. And my uncle was in his mid-60s. He was a construction worker. He built homes for a living. And he practically lived on roofs hammering away with his hammer and nails. And so I really couldn't believe it. I was just blown away. And I couldn't relate to everything that she was saying, but now I could. It's been 6 months now, and I've been sleeping perfectly fine. There's no creaks or cracks in the middle of the night. No more waking up at 3 a.m. Right on the dot, and nothing falling off dressers or things moving. But I've definitely come to peace with the house, and I'm extremely happy with it all. And I still like to think that my uncle and now my grandfather, who also just passed away a month after my uncle, are always hanging around the house. So whenever I hear a creak or crack, instead of getting scared, I like to think that it's them. And that's my story.
Thank you, Natalie. Yeah. Thank you. That's a lot of stuff in there. The handprint, I mean, yeah, just like that's just a, I understand how that could be creepy, but I want to go ahead and see if anyone else has a question for you. So how about you, Marie? Do you have any question for Natalie about her stories?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I'm going to go all the way back to the beginning of it with her baby throwing up, that like having a reaction to the house. And, you know, just to share from my own childhood, I have very, very distinct memory of when I was probably about 3 years old. My mother was on this committee to look for a new place for our preschool. And so she was taking me along because she took me everywhere. And I remember going into this building and I remember saying to her, we can't have preschool here. This house moves. That was the only way I could describe it. But I just was interested. I'm thinking, you know, there may be a kind of openness to experiencing strong energies like that in some children. Uh-huh. And, you know, that the baby had such a strong reaction to it. And I wondered then, did anything else happen with that particular child or were they fine? It was just that one incident.
I mean, when we got into the house, I did feel like also during the summertime, right after we moved, the girls got sick a lot though too. My 3-year-old got a double ear infection. And then our other one got the virus hand, foot, and mouth. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like what is happening? And this is like all within like a month of us moving in. And so I did think maybe that was also part of my reasoning of just, oh, I'm not too sure. Still, I'm not too sure if this keeps happening. I feel like we might have to move and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But then I also didn't think also, I'm also kind of like a skeptic. I'm not sure. So I was just like, well, maybe it's just because they did just start another daycare. So I was like, they're probably just getting new germs from these new children or, you know, because they how they share everything. So I was sort of just kind of back and forth on the fence of that.
Yeah. And did you have any sensation with the handprint or it just was there?
No, it was just there. Like it didn't burn or didn't hurt or anything like that. It was just the weirdest thing. And I tried putting my hand up against it. And my hand would have to be in the most awkward position to even like get with both of my hands to hit my leg like that. And I don't know, it was just really weird. Never happened again, but just that one time.
So you were sitting down and maybe looking down at your leg so that you would see that right away, right?
Yeah, I bent down and I was sitting like crisscross and it was just right there on my leg. I didn't notice it all day. I don't know how long it's been there, but until that moment, yeah.
Okay, how about Allie? You have any thoughts there?
Sure, I have a couple questions. First of all, when you talked about her vomiting in the house that you hadn't purchased yet, it reminded me of the first episode of the Santa Clarita Diet where Drew Barrymore is a real estate agent. Has anyone seen this show?
I have not.
She's showing this house and she suddenly just projectile vomits this mass amounts of vomit, just goes everywhere in front of the clients. And it was just shocking and hilarious, but it reminded me of that. And the second thing is, I too played softball for decades and traveled the United States and did all that as well. But you mentioned you were superstitious, mm-hmm. and you related it to the softball, which I don't get that. I don't get that connection.
Well, with just like me and a lot of my teammates, like sometimes when we're superstitious about things, just like little things, Like, if we win a game, we'll probably wear the exact same bra or the exact same thing. Just little things like that.
Okay. Like you're on a tournament. Nobody washes their uniforms as long as you're...
Right. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just right. Little things like that. Nothing, like, big, but... Yeah.
Okay. And then the other thing is, if the kids were all suddenly getting sick, is that some of these older homes have mold, which can really affect respiratory and things like that. Do you think it possibly has anything like that?
Well, we had it inspected for all that, and nothing showed up. So, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah. That's all I got.
Okay.
So I'm interested, you said you were curious when you were a kid about the paranormal, and that the closest experience that you had as a kid to relating to that was the television. And tell us about that.
Well, I just loved watching the shows about other people, just listening to other people's stories about like the paranormal or I don't know, just people that they've lost and having that connection. And it just amazed me how it just kind of made me almost like a believer, because I've never experienced it myself until I got a little bit older, but it's just something that I was always interested in. And then everyone else in my family thought that I was weird and crazy. Like, oh, that probably doesn't exist. You know that they're all making it up. And I'm like, well, maybe. I don't know. Like, you don't know. Who knows, you know? So, I don't know. Yeah, I just kind of, that's the only time that I would think about it. I mean, I've heard noises and things my whole entire life. I've also seen things, like, even in my parents' house fall off walls when I'd be up around 2 to 3 o'clock in the morning. So I don't know. That's also kind of made me a believer, but just little things. But then I always just thought, well, there's probably just coincidences, you know, just nothing big. That's how I kind of not freak myself out about stuff.
Right. I get that. Also, if your siblings or your parents aren't seeing or hearing these things or talking about it, then you may think, well, I'm the only one, and, you know, question that within yourself, especially as a kid.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so the television at that point being the one source you have for that, whereas now we have all these podcasts and other ways of hearing stories from other people.
Right.
And
so, definitely.
All right. So I'm ready. You guys ready for Marie? And we have to hear what you have to say.
We'll be back after this.
The new unknowncountry.com is on the way. There'll be exciting new graphics, much easier navigation, the ability to subscribe either with your credit card or using PayPal, the return of our free message board and subscriber chat room, and so much more. The new site will be intuitive and easy to use, but it will also be demonstrated and explained on Whitley's YouTube channel. As to when, well, we're hopefully just weeks away.
You know, The Afterlife Revolution is a funny book. It makes people happy, even though it's about the afterlife and thinking about crossing over. It made me happy to write it. And the reason it did was that I was actually in touch with Anne while I was writing it. And not only that, she proved it. She proved it clearly and completely. When you read the book, you'll see what I mean. You'll see why Dr. Gary Schwartz, who is one of the leading experts on the afterlife, considers it such an important book, why he wrote a foreword for it. Because this is about something real and incredible that we are told every day not to believe that we have souls and that we have an afterlife. Well, we do. We do. And The Afterlife Revolution is going to open the door for you, so you're not going to be thinking to yourself, maybe I don't, when you do. And that's why it's a book of joy. Go on Amazon, take a look at the great reviews, and get yourself a copy. It's available for your Kindle. It's available in paperback. And there's an audiobook read by me. And let me tell you something. You can hear something in my voice. People tell me that, and I think it's true. You know what it is? It's the inner joy that is part of me and has become part of me since this extraordinary thing happened. I have to say, Anne Streber was a remarkable person in this life, and she still is. Get it today.
Whitley Strieber's nonfiction is magical, powerful, and thought-provoking. From Communion to The Afterlife Revolution, there is no body of work like it in the world. Nothing even approaches it.
And not only that, his wonderful fiction, from The Wolfen to his latest novel, New, offers reading and listening entertainment that you will never forget. And where do you find all this in one place? At Streber.com. That's where. Every Whitley Strieber book available for sale is there. So don't wait. Go to Streber.com and start exploring. There's only one Whitley and only one place to find all his work. Streber.com.
Welcome back.
Great. Okay. I'm going to dive in.
All right.
So I kind of came, my stories are a little bit in a different vein, but I also do have similar experiences to both Allie and Natalie as well. So, and some recent little ones too that maybe are of interest. But I'm really, you know, in terms of my own experiences, so I have a lifetime of experiences, a lot of visitations. I guess if people were going to describe that body, it'd be more toward like the UFO side of things. And I am really interested in a conversation or getting some feedback or questions from everyone who's here about sort of the difference between the portions of these experiences that are really physical versus the portions of these experiences that are very energetic in origin. And it, I feel like because, you know, we're here in this world, we tend to sort of like gravitate toward the physical part. But in the two that I want to describe, I feel like the energetic part is actually more important or seems to me to be like the focus, the central focus. So the first story, I actually told part of this first story on a previous interview with Jeremy, and I wanted just to talk about one part of it. So I'll just review the story. And it happened to me when I'm not sure, it was either 9 or 10 years old. I had just moved into my own room in my house. And this was a house in Pennsylvania. And I had my bed pushed up against the window because I loved it. It was early spring, but it was a warm night. I loved to have the window open and look out in the evening. So I would sleep that way. And there was fields beyond the house. And so this particular night, I woke up and I remember distinctly the first thing I thought was, that's the biggest full moon I have ever seen. And then my second thought was, it's not the moon, because I could see the moon in a different portion of the sky. And it was many times larger than the moon. And it was a really enormous orange globe. And there was a field behind this house. There was a yard and then a field, like a good football size length field. The end of the field was a row of trees. And about 3/4 of the way up the field was a large like oak tree. So I could see the branches of the oak tree were in front of the object, and the tree line in the distance was behind the object. So that kind of gives some sense of the distance. Really, really large. And it meant that it was pretty low. I mean, probably just guessing, like something like 30 feet off the ground or 40 feet off the ground, just hovering there, totally silent. There was no sound whatsoever. And I was not afraid at all. I was sort of in awe. I thought it was very, very beautiful. I found it gorgeous to look at, this orange color, and I sort of could see some movement in it. So that's sort of like the solid part of the way this experience began. And I felt in a normal state of mind, just a kid looking out the window at this incredible object in the middle of the night. And but then what happened next is that I felt an energy enter in through my forehead, through, I guess, what you would call your third eye. And when it entered my body, it was like a it felt like liquid. It felt kind of, it had a thickness or a sense of texture to it is the best way to describe it. And I felt it kind of pouring down through my body. And as this happened, so I'm, you know, I just want to remind everybody, I was like 9 or 10 years old. So my recollection of it now as an adult, I can kind of describe it better. I had a feeling of complete ecstasy, like, and kind of ecstasy that I had I had no yardstick for at that age. And, you know, now I would say it was like almost orgasmic, but like my whole body was experiencing it. And I felt like Not like I was falling asleep, but like it encompassed me so fully, I almost lost myself. Like the world around me vanished into this sort of ecstasy of this moment. And then when everything came back into focus, and I have no idea how much time passed, like zero, I was still looking out the window and the object was gone. Later in my life, I had a little bit more of this come back to me just on its own. And what I saw was that this thing that came in through my third eye was like a small red light. It was like a light that came in. So I'm really interested in like the energy. I mean, there's the object, there's the physical object, which of course is interesting in itself, but this energetic part of it seemed to be the focus of it for me in terms of my experience. And it feels a little bit almost like a, and I don't have any other experience with this, so that's why I'm interested in to hear what people think, but like almost like a kundalini kind of energy rising, like that, like it released that in me somehow, that this liquid thing released that into me somehow. And although I have memories of experiences before that, I would say that one around 9 or 10 was really, really formidable for me in terms of my life. So that's the first one. And the second one that I wanted to talk about happened to me in my late 20s. And I think you'll notice like the parallels in these two stories, which is why I wanted to bring them up. So this was a particular apartment that I lived in that I had a period of time of tremendous, tremendous activity and visitation that was going on. And my bedroom was at the back of the apartment. The apartment was on the top floor. And the bedrooms were set up like, I don't know if anyone's ever seen those old New York apartments that are like railroad style. It wasn't in New York, but you have to pass through one room to get into the next room. So you had to walk through the guest bedroom to get into my bedroom. And there was a floorboard in the guest bedroom that was slightly loose. If you stepped on it, it would squeak. So I woke up this particular night because I heard someone step on the floorboard. It squeaked. So someone was approaching the bed very, very quickly. And I was in this period of my life, as I said, where I was having a lot of visitations, and I was very, very afraid. So unlike the childhood experience where I had no fear, in my late 20s, I had a tremendous amount of fear, and I did not want to see what was approaching. I was completely awake, but I kept my eyes closed. I felt it approach the bedside, and then I felt a touch on my right shoulder, which was at the edge of the bed. And same kind of thing, but this time the energy was entering from my right shoulder. It went across to my heart. It was moving very slowly, and there was a tremendous amount of resistance this time in my body. I was experiencing like huge resistance, like it was being forced into me. And the energy shifted from my heart and started to move down. And I was in a state of like panic at this point in time. And as it got to my stomach, as it's moving down, as it got to my stomach, I got this huge wave of nausea. And I thought, like, my thought was, I'm going to have to open my eyes because I'm going to throw up. Like, it was so intense. And at the exact moment that it peaked in that intensity, it stopped. The whole thing stopped. The whole thing completely shut down. Like, it had, like, back to normal state. And I heard whatever it was, walk, 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 squeak, hit the squeaky floorboard, walk right back out the way that it came in. Wow. Which is toward the front of the house. So it has, the second story has the same, in this case, some kind of entity that is physical. It's making sound when it walks. It's stepping on a floorboard. But then it has this energetic component. And this time I'm in a state of fear. And this time there's huge resistance in my body. Whereas when I was a child, there was no resistance. And I had this like ecstatic experience with it. So, you know, I'm interested in those
like the juxtaposition of those two stories and the energetic component of them. And was really curious to see what people had to say. And then I don't know if there's time, I could also share a few things that are more along the lines of like the paranormal as well.
You said that you had some experiences that were also connected to some of the experiences that maybe Natalie or Ali had shared.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting what we like talk about and what we don't talk about. And I didn't talk about any of these experiences, but I always in my mind sort of separated out these visitations that I've had my whole life and then sort of these paranormal experiences. But the older I get, the more I think they have a deeper relationship that's hard for me to maybe understand or even articulate. I've definitely seen the shadow people. I saw, particularly during the time that I was in college, I saw that frequently in the place that I lived in. I have seen on two occasions ghosts that looked like fully formed human beings. In both instances, I thought I was looking at an actual human being until they vanished. Uh-huh. So they were like really solid and really clear. And in a third instance, a disincarnate entity that whistled, and I was with another person. We both heard the whistling, and it was right in the room with us. And so I actually had a witness on that one. But you know, there's around me sort of strange anomalies that just are happening from time to time, and I feel like they come in little waves. So in the last couple weeks, just here in my house, an example would be it was evening. I was walking to my refrigerator, which is kind of centrally located in my house. It's not near a window or anything reflective. The lights were on. It was like 9 o'clock. I was about to reach to open my refrigerator door. And right as I was about to do that, a ball of light, like the size of a golf ball, came speeding through the ceiling, went right in front of my face, and then went right through the floor and vanished. And it was so fast that I actually jumped back. I thought it was going to hit me. It was very like solid three-dimensional. You know, I have no idea what that was.
Yeah. No.
It came and went. And then this week, very strangely, on just a few nights ago, I woke up at around 3 a.m, that famous time we were just talking about. I woke up out of a dead sleep because I felt like someone actually hit me in the center of my chest. I was here in my house alone. Like, it was completely physical. I wasn't dreaming, nothing. It brought me out of a deep sleep into like full wakefulness sitting up, and there was no one there. Uh-huh. I have no explanation for that. And I didn't feel like when I woke up, I didn't feel any presence or anything else, just this like physical hit in the middle of the night. So those are, you know, those are some examples that I think lean more toward some of what we've been talking about.
Yeah. I think that the energetic and the kind of the juxtaposition that you're talking about, you from when you were a young child, not feeling fear to then as an adult feeling fear. It's interesting because both of those stories, you had something coming into you when you were younger, being open to that in a degree, maybe not having any other sense of why you should be scared of it and feeling the ecstasy of it. Some of the experiences I've had, I've felt that, what you're saying, that ecstasy of the moment. And one of them was with a blue orb, a bluish kind of green orb that started to open up and I could see something there. And I felt like it was communicating through me, you know, through our minds, but there wasn't, I didn't feel like something entered me in that way. But another visitation experience that I had where I did feel that sense of ecstasy, and it was meeting Godly and Pinky, and, you know, Pinky was a person, Godly a dog. And just when I touched the dog, just then I felt this sense, that energy from Godly especially, and the energy from the two of them that they had of this ecstatic, what you're saying. And I think that it's a hard feeling to describe, but I think you know what feeling I'm talking about from what you said.
Yeah, I do. I definitely do. It is hard to describe. Yeah. And I certainly, as a child, did not have any words for it. at all. But I mean, that memory has stayed with me so clearly. And, you know, as I've gotten older, at least I have some words to describe it, but it is hard to describe. So powerful, though. It was incredibly powerful.
So how about you, Natalie? Any thing that thoughts that you have there and all these interesting stories?
Yeah. I was just thinking, you know, it's when you were saying when you were a kid, you had no fear. It's almost like kids never have fear, right? Everything kind of just fascinates them and they just want to learn about what everything is. And then when we become adults, we've been through more and more experiences and we understand more. So I feel like that's where a lot of, at least that's where my fear comes from, knowing that it could be something positive or it could be something negative. You just don't know. But when you're a kid, it's like I can see it in my 3-year-old's face right now, right? Like nothing fears. There's no fear in anything that she does. She could jump off something and not even know what could happen to her. But in that moment, she doesn't care. So, yeah, that's really cool that you had that with as a child. Yeah, I really enjoyed hearing your experiences. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, Ali, I just wondered if Ali had some.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I had a question. When you were sleeping in your apartment and you heard the floorboard squeak and you like instantly knew it was a non-corporeal entity running at you, did you not for a second think there was an actual intruder in your apartment?
I think that entity was in some kind of body. I don't think it was non-corporeal.
But you didn't think it was a burglar?
I did not think it was a burglar.
You instantly knew it was
the context was that it was the period that was, there was a lot happening like that, very, very intensely and very, very frequently. So I didn't have any thought of that. And the way the apartment was, there would have been other sounds of a break-in had it been a break-in. So I knew right away that I had a visitor in the apartment with me, definitely.
Yeah. And another thing, the ball of light by your refrigerator. My stepson lived with us for a while, and he's had some weird things. But one thing that happened was he said he got up about 3 in the morning. He went in to get a drink out of the refrigerator. And just as he reached for the handle, he said this bright pinpoint of light, like 4 inches in front of his eyes, just appeared and went pop. And he said it was about the size of a golf ball, and it just made this sound like he couldn't even describe it. It wasn't that loud. I mean, it didn't wake everybody up, but he said it was very powerful and it just rocked him back on his heels, you know. And it's almost like, whoa, what was that, you know?
Do you know what's really interesting that you tell that story is that I just yesterday, I'd forgotten this, yesterday heard a loud pop in this house. And I have never heard that sound in this house before. And I was like, what was that? And it was just, I have no idea. It came from like my living room, which is adjacent to where the refrigerator was. But I didn't figure out what it was. Like I walked around looking at something fall and I didn't find anything. So it's so interesting that he heard the pop and saw the light together.
Right in front of his face, it really startled him. We thought, is it a vortex or a portal suddenly just opening and shutting? Just like
wow.
A prick or, I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, it actually made me, it didn't scare me, but it surprised me in a way that made me jump back from it.
I mean, recognized it as something not normal.
Yeah, it was quite solid. It was quite solid. It wasn't like reflective or anything like that. It was like a solid ball of light, not big, moving fast in a straight line, sailing through the floor, gone.
I had a small similar, I don't know, I was napping during the day, full daylight, lying on my back, and I felt a tickle on my elbow, and I thought, oh, it's a mosquito, I gotta kill it, you know, you gotta kill them quick, you gotta go fast. And so I just suddenly went into instant motion, and I slapped my elbow with my right hand as quickly and as hard as I could, because I wanted to kill that mosquito. And it wasn't a mosquito, and I looked, and a white mist rose up off of my arm, and it hovered about a foot over me. It was about the size of a basketball, and it was round. And it just swirled and hovered, and then it moved slowly off and went through the wall, and it was gone. Like, what was that? It's like I was it's like something touched me, I think, while I was sleeping, and I just in my mind, I thought, mosquito, you know. And so I slapped it. But I can't tell you. But I've heard a lot of instances of floating white balls of fog or white mist. It seems to be fairly common.
Did you feel any sense of consciousness with that?
No, like, not at all. I never have. I must be dense or something. I never felt that.
Go ahead, Ali.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say that feeling might be described as bliss.
Yeah.
Be a good word. Okay. All right. I'm done.
Yeah. I mean, I would see it as bliss, but even more. It's like bliss times 100.
Wow. Yeah. It's at a level where it wasn't possible for your senses to experience anything else anymore. Like the world vanished. Mm-hmm. And I was just in that for however long that was. I don't know how long it was, but it was all encompassing.
Yeah. The other time I felt that was when I had my out-of-body experience and I was moving in this experience. It was not something I saw. It was a surprise experience that happened. And I was moving from these bubbles to bubbles, and every single bubble I went in, there were people, and in these bubbles, they were all happy. It was that feeling, the all-encompassing joy, ecstasy, bliss, pure happiness, at peace, just everything. And part of me craves that again. And so I wonder, like, as a kid, do you think you might have craved having an experience like that again, the energetic experience of something entering into your body? But as you've, all these years have passed, when it came back, do you think it was the same thing or something different, and you changed or it changed? And that's for Marie.
Yeah, it's a really great question, and I'm not sure of the answer to it, except to say that there was resistance in my body,
right,
in my late 20s, that was not there in my childhood. Now, is that the accumulation of living, that, what happens to us as we age? Was I clearer as a child than I was as an adult? Probably. So I'm not sure if it was me that was having a different experience with the same energy, or if it was a different energy altogether. I mean, I definitely felt in both those experiences like that energy was meant to, this is too dramatic a word, but I'm just not coming up with another one right now, that energy was being pushed into me to change me, to alter my own body in some way, or to alter my own, chakras in some way, to alter me in some way.
And you didn't feel that as a child, but you felt that as a 20-year-old.
As a child, I didn't have really any words to describe what that was. I just have the memory of it. So it's more hindsight that's my sense of it in both instances.
Well, I know as a child, I would have, when you talk about an energetic, and you said color, you put a color to it. You put the orange, like at first you thought it was the moon, and then there's this orange and there's this energetic feeling. And what I would have was this waves of sort of color that came with like sound that would definitely sort of overwhelm all of my senses. But I was scared of that because of how much it overwhelmed me. Like I realized when I would have these waves of color and sound and sort of a vibration come through me that I had, it was more powerful than I was. And I was losing myself in it. And so I would pull away from it in those instances.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I definitely had that experience of losing myself in it 100%. Like I get what you're saying with that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very, very encompassing. The second experience did not encompass me in that way. It was like it was being pushed with such force into me.
Right.
And it wasn't moving easily. So I was quite conscious. I was quite conscious of my own fear. I was quite conscious of not wanting to open my eyes and see what was happening. I was conscious of like my nausea and that I might have to look. So I was very, very aware in the second one. And the first one, I really like was lost in the experience itself.
Mm-hmm. So I want to go back to Ali for a moment. In connecting something that you said, Marie, about thinking that these experiences were separate kinds of things, like a UFO or a paranormal or, you know, out of body, being kind of very different categories and kind of experiences of things. Is that sort of a good, fair summary of what you said, Marie, in one part?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, I'm thinking less of that now, but across my life, I've definitely sort of separated them in my mind.
Right. So then Allie was saying that, you know, you're going out, you said this, right, Allie, that you were going out to see if you could see a UFO because other people were seeing UFOs?
Well, I go out every evening and just look at the night sky anyway. Just, it's something I always do before I go to sleep. So I'm out there anyway. But I just know so many people who've told me their stories. So I look. You know, I just try to be observant and notice, and just nothing. Not for me.
Natalie, what do you think? Do you think that some of these are, or do you still feel very new to this? You said, you know, the experiences. Do you have any thoughts on whether this could be something that's really all in the same playing field, perhaps? I don't know. I'm using softball terms there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I am very new to this. I haven't had any type of experiences like you two have had, or you three, I should say, you two. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe it is the same thing. Maybe they're all different. I don't know. I'm at a loss of words. I'm just enjoying listening to your guys' stories and just so fascinated.
So I know that there's some discussion, and in the past, and I've had this discussion with people that maybe sometimes we're being presented with things that we're comfortable with, or what our life experience has allowed us to see. So seeing, maybe you've seen the white mist, Allie, and not been scared of it. Now you've seen it in several different situations, it sounds like. But you're not scared of it, and it's presenting yourself, maybe the same thing, presenting itself to you in this way.
It happens so suddenly, and you're never expecting it, and then it's over so quickly, there's really no time to generate any fear. It's almost like if you sat me in a dark room with candles lit, and there was spooky music, and you said, okay, I'm going to make this white mist appear, and somebody did something, and then white mist appeared, that might be frightening. But when it just happens to you so out of the blue, and then it's gone, there's just no time for any fear to have worked up, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank all of you for coming on tonight and getting together and sharing your stories. And I hope that there are other women out there who might want to share their stories in the future, and or maybe have some insights and want to send us some questions or comment on the link that'll be below the podcast, right? There'll be a space to comment or send questions to Jeremy, and he knows all of us can be in contact with us. So thank you all.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, Jeremy, for having us on your show and allowing the four women to have a voice and speak out tonight. When considering how to host this podcast, this is my first hosting. Thank you, Jeremy, for inviting me to host an all-women's roundtable. I immediately thought of this poem. This episode of The Experience is dedicated to women's stories of high strangeness, and it seemed appropriate to me to read Maya Angelou's poem, Phenomenal Woman. Our stories are reflective of us, in this case, women, who are phenomenal and experiencing phenomenons. But wait, as Jeremy likes to say, as a mother, first I am seeking peace and quiet around my house to do this recording. I told my tween and teen that I would need them to not disturb me for the length of the recording. I told them I was going to read a poem, and the tween said, "What? This poem?" And he recited, "Roses are red, violets are blue, I saw an alien, and so did you." Anyway, I thought that was pretty funny. He's a witty one. But without further ado, here you go. Phenomenal Woman by Maya Angelou. Many people wonder where my secrets lie. I'm not cute or built to suit a fashion model's size. But when I start to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. I say, it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, the curl of my lips. I'm a woman, phenomenally. I walk into a room just as cool as you please. And to a man, the fellows stand or fall down on their knees. Then they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say, it's the fire in my eyes and the flash of my teeth, the swing in my waist and the joy in my feet. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Men themselves have wondered what they see in me. They try so much, but they can't touch my inner mystery. When I show them, they say they still can't see. I say, it's in the arch of my back, the sun of my smile, the grace of my style. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Now you understand just why my head's not bowed. I don't have to shout or jump around or have to talk real loud. When you see me passing, it ought to make you proud. I say, it's in the click of my heels, the bend of my hair, the palms of my hands, the need of my care. 'Cause I'm a woman, phenomenally, phenomenal. All you women and me.